The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, everybody.
What's up?
Producer number nine, so much more than producer. I was walking out of here yesterday, and someone was like, hey, tell producer number nine. I said hello. I was like, you mean Kelly? He's like, yeah, Kelly. I was like, oh, no. I don't know if Kelly would be upset about that.
It's all good.
What a time to be alive. What a week.
That's right.
NFL draft, a little more than 48 hours away. Guardians controlling their own destiny now. We'll talk about that later. Good news, bad news. Still games to be played is the bad news. Drew Dinsick will join us to talk NFL draft. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him. Tennis. Sporer on baseball, Paul Carr on the Premier League. We got some midweek Premier League. Eric Eager. How about Eric Eager showing up? Sumer Sports. Later this week, we hope to get Cleve T.A. to talk draft with us as well as the draft approaches. We must begin. Oh, before we begin, tennis. Overnight, again, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest here at VSiN, no matter the sport, all of our picks are logged at VSiN.com/bets. Is it VSiN.com/bets or VSiN.com/picks?
Let me see.
What's going on with me right now?
I think it's picks.
Something's happening to me. VSiN.com/picks. And so it's all there.
Yeah, picks.
We just hit our fifth clay court tennis match in a row overnight on Arantxa Rus, getting by Brenda Fruvertova. And we have one more coming up this morning. This is Madrid now. The ladies start today. The men start tomorrow. This is a 1,000. So it's the highest thing outside of a slam, in other words, in Madrid. It'll be Madrid, it'll be Rome, and then it'll be the French Open. The one remaining this morning is, as we go for our sixth straight winner, is Ana Bogdan. Ana Bogdan is the play this morning. Let me see if the price is right. I should probably have done that beforehand. But Ana Bogdan is taking on Wang Jiu. Bogdan spelled, Kelly, for those who need to know this information.
Bogdanovich without the Vich.
Without the Ovich.
Ovich.
Watch how you say that. Yeah, she's still at a price that you can play her at. She's plus money, so play it. Ana Bogdan against Wang Jiu is the play. Should start this morning. All right, NBA last night. Oh, my God. They said this many times. I agree wholeheartedly. It's the greatest doubleheader in TNT history last night.
Ooh, okay.
Greatest doubleheader.
Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of people leaping to that conclusion immediately.
No, it was fantastic.
But it was awesome. I'm not going to say it wasn't great.
And guess what? It didn't include Cleveland and Orlando. Cleveland took a 2-0 lead in that best of seven first round series. There you go. It's the doubleheader started with the Sixers and the Knicks. Knicks came into the game up 1-0 in what was one of the two competitive games of the game ones, if you will, around the NBA. Game two last night. We'll just go through the end of it. It's 100-96 Sixers with Kyle Lowry going to the line with 47 seconds left in the game to try to make it a 6-point lead. A great career free throw shooter. He makes one of two. 101-96 Sixers, 47 seconds left. What's the Sixers win probability at that point? Up five.
Oh, man. Good call.
I wish I had the exact number for you, but I didn't. I didn't look at that moment.
See if I can find.
Knicks come down court. Jalen Brunson is frantically dribbling the ball down the court. They're throwing the ball around. It gets back to Brunson. He hits a three, an amazing three, because he is not having a good game, and he really, in clutch situation, hits it. 27 seconds left, 101-99 Sixers. Lowry, then nobody's calling a timeout here, Kelly. Kyle Lowry decides not to call a timeout, and in fact, inbounds it probably way too quickly to Tyrese Maxey, whose arm gets tangled, probably gets bumped. The ball goes high in the air. Maxey recovers it, but falls to the ground. Traveling is not called. He tries to pass it through Hart's legs to Lowry, stolen by Hart, gets it to DiVincenzo, who misses a three. Hartenstein crashes the boards. Nobody thinks about boxing him out. Murders Lowry in the process, kicks it to Ananobi while he's falling to the ground. He gets it to DiVincenzo again, who, without even any conscience, shoots another three, this time good. And just like that, the Knicks are up one. What a sequence that was. 102-101. Ben Stiller and MSG going ballistic. 13.1 seconds left. Lowry has to be helped to the bench. The place is pandemonium. Sixers down one. Then Maxey coast to coast to the rim. I don't know if it was blocked by Hartenstein or if just his momentum made him miss it. Either way, rebound Ananobi. He gets fouled. He makes both with 6.6 seconds left. Now keep in mind, it's still a 3-point game. Knicks don't foul. It gets to Embiid, who just gets it off in time. No good. Knicks with the first half of the greatest doubleheader in TNT history. What a finish. And the Knicks go up in the series 2-0 with a 104-101 win. They do not cover. Sixers ATS gets the money. The adjusted series price, by the way, game three in Philly, the Sixers are 4.5-point favorites. The adjusted series price on the Sixers is plus 315-ish. Shop around. Would you, if you didn't have your Sixers futures, would you dip on that?
No, I thought it was going to be a little longer, actually.
I did too.
Because we talked about that yesterday, and I said I might be jumping in on that side. I thought it was going to be a longer number, and not at that price. Now I'm a mega Sixers fan. Let's just root them on. Yeah. Let's go Embiid. I laid the points with the Knicks last night. That didn't get there, obviously. The big story this morning, the timeouts, you and I were talking a little bit about it before the show, but, man, that was... Lowry inbounded the ball too quickly. That's the biggest storyline that's really not getting talked about enough.
Yeah, you're too much of a veteran to have done that.
You are too much of a veteran to have done that. Yeah. And that's when you saw Nick Nurse, he almost pump fakes the timeout because he doesn't have enough time to get to call timeout. Lowry inbounds the ball. And then I don't really know what the still frame I keep seeing this morning. Okay, when Nurse calls a timeout, the ball's out of Maxie's hands.
It's a loose ball. At that point.
Yeah, he doesn't have control of the ball. So everybody's losing it over that this morning. I know the Sixers are appealing what they're sending something to the NBA office about the officiating the last two games. That one, I was at that point. I'm not going to cover my Knicks spread, so I should be rooting for the Sixers. So I'm saying this through completely unbiased glasses here. Like there was no timeout that should have been called. I'm a little surprised Maxie didn't make that layup. You were talking about that, how quick he got down the other end. I was like, oh my gosh! After all that, Maxie's about.
But if you're going at that speed, sometimes that won't go. The thing about it is though, like if Embiid is healthy. Does he buck out Hardenstein? He looked miserable all game. Miserable. By the way, the 101 points scored by the Sixers, he and Maxie had 69 of them. I mean, it was just a two-man show, really.
It really was.
And so, Embiid, though, after the game, says, we're going to win this series. We're going to win this series. Got to bounce back from that.
Do feel bad for the guy. I mean, it's just he's doing everything he can out there. He's clearly hampered, and he's still putting up monster numbers.
Lakers and
34 points, 10 rebounds.
Lakers and Nuggets said, hold my beer. Lakers led by 20 early in the third quarter. They led by 10 after three. Nuggets got it to 83-81 with 6:45 left, but two LeBron threes back-to-back got it back to an 8-point Lakers lead, 89-81. 93-89 Lakers, teams have been trading buckets. Jokic just uses AD down low, an amazing fake and under and one, a 3-point play after the free throw, 93-92 Lakers with 2:12 left. Reeves misses a three, but LeBron steals the ball, streaking jam. Not actually streaking. Streaking down court. If he was actually streaking, that would be a story. Streaking jam.
Big story.
95-92 Lakers. 1:23 left. 8 seconds later, after Aaron Gordon makes the unsung play of the day, saves a contested loose ball that was headed out of bounds, gets it to Porter Jr., 29-footer, nothing but nylon. 95 all, 1:15 to go. Russell to the rack, though. 97-95. What a game he played. 103 left. Timeout Denver. Bookmark that one because LeBron had things to say. Then a foul on LeBron. Murray, who was 4 of 17 the first three quarters of this game, hits two free throws. 97 apiece, 58 seconds left. Then LeBron to the rack. 99-97 with 48 seconds left. Then Murray, a 20-footer from the right elbow to tie it back up at 99. I cannot tell you how many times out loud by myself I'm going, oh my God! Like, how are they hitting these shots? 36 seconds left. This is Jamal Murray from the playoff run last year.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Playoff Jamal Murray, man.
30 seconds left. Lakers ball. Tie game. LeBron basically shoves KCP down and finds himself so wide open with 16 seconds left that I guess he forgot about time, and he was just like, well, I'm this wide open. I got to shoot this. He clanks the three. No good. Rebound Porter Jr. No timeout called. He gets it to Murray. 16-foot fadeaway on the baseline over AD. Good. The buzzer. Bang.
What a shot.
Nuggets win it 101-99. Denver had not led since 5-3 with just over 2 minutes into the ball game. Largest blown lead for the Lakers this season. Oh, my God, what a night of basketball. And the Nuggets go up 2-0 in the best-of-7 first-round series. The Lakers adjusted series price, not nearly as short as the Sixers, as you might imagine, plus 875. Denver, a 1-point favorite in Game 3 in L.A.
Does it make you, I feel like you ask me these questions all the time, are you more confident or less confident in the Lakers being able to put up a chance in this series after these two games?
Not a chance, but I do think they'll do the perfunctory. They'll win one game, right? Okay. And Denver will win it in five.
I think it's probably that, too. That's gut-wrenching if you're a Lakers fan last night.
Brutal.
They played about as good a game as they could play.
They did in game one, too. They played great.
I mean, and they did four games last year where they got swept. They played it's incredible. Just,
I don't think the Lakers lost that game last year.
I don't think so either. Yes, Denver won.
You blew a 20-point lead, and somehow you didn't actually lose it. Now, Shaq says differently. Shaq says, yeah, you did. Why did you double Jokic when you were up 20? Why do you double Jokic and let the other guys get their groove? That was his big thing after the game.
Okay.
But, like, certainly down the stretch, there was no gaffe where you choked up the game like the Sixers did.
Yeah, it's amazing what this starting unit does for Denver, too. I mean, you just pull up a box score, too, and it's four or five guys every night. Like, it's not like you're getting the random dude off the bench having a big game. It's, you know exactly what's coming, and you can't stop it.
How good was that finish last night with Denver and the Lakers? No, trading shots.
So awesome.
Trading excellence down the stretch. That was awesome. And
Murray didn't even see the shot go in. That's always one of those, like, I love those sports stories where, like, he didn't see the shot and he hears the crowd and he's like, well, I guess it was good.
And AD still being excavated from the Denver pile celebration in the corner.
Yeah.
He just got swallowed by it. It's incredible. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA. Get any tennis thoughts from him in Madrid. And, of course, his NFL draft thoughts on the heels of our Megapod yesterday. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from yesterday, the numbers guys. Hi, Gil. First time, long time. Is Bill 80 drinking Atomic Blue Mountain Dew in the infamous commercial? I think Pepsi has long since retired the flavor. Is it coming back? My barber uses it to put the combs in. A little question about the Bill 80 newsletter commercials. Yeah. LFC Title Records. I had tickets on Scotty this weekend, so I was constantly hearing a Southern gentleman's voice in the back of my head muttering, engage baby having scenario. Thanks, Gil. Glad it came home. Good for you. Let's see. Nate Goggins talking about how that poll had Paul Pierce as the fifth greatest player of all time. That
of everything that happened yesterday, that might still be my favorite thing.
He said, don't forget Paul Pierce was able to come back from that horrific injury in the 08 finals where he was taken off the court in the wheelchair. It was more of a, what do you call those things in old Roman times? It wasn't really a wheel. It was a wheelchair.
Like a cart?
No, it was almost like where you carry people.
A chariot?
A chariot. Yeah, there you go. A chariot. Thank you so much. All right. And then just from here this morning, let me get to a couple here. This is from Kevin Ryan. Gil, the emotional ups and downs I experienced last night with a two-team moneyline parlay on the Knicks and Nuggets may never be experienced again. Well, at least not until my next bad beat. And trust the glove. Thank you for staying up for the game. Great recap. Too old to pull that off anymore myself. Drew Dinsick is kind enough to join us for a second segment, as he always is here on Tuesdays on a numbers game, at @whale_capper. And again, Deep Dive Podcast and Bet the Edge, courtesy of Progressive, the Progressive guest line. Tennis real quick, Madrid, it's a 1,000 tournament. Women started this morning, men tomorrow. Did you make any futures plays?
I got a little bit of Sabalenka on the women's side because she was 5-1 compared to Rybakina, and Iga. I couldn't square that with the altitude and the kind of importance of serve. If Sabalenka does anything on clay, it's here. It's pretty low stakes for me, though. I got so much going on in the NBA right now, and you know, we'll ultimately have a lot locked up in the draft. So I'm dancing pretty lately in tennis at the moment.
It is an amazing time where, like, multiple sports, right? Tennis, baseball, draft. I got things going on, everything. Like, basketball is almost the one where I don't have anything. Let's talk basketball since you do. Yesterday, you also said it. Best doubleheader you can ever remember in TNT playoff history.
For my money, yes. And, you know, like, of course, as we go deeper into the playoffs and the stakes get higher, like, you know, people think those games matter more. But I will forever be around one, you know, kind of that's my favorite time with the back to, you know, two games going on at the same time and back to back like that. And I guess we should say we don't really know that the Knicks won because I don't know if you heard, but Philadelphia did file a grievance.
That's right. Stay tuned, everybody. You
know, the NBA, they may look at the tape and decide that actually Philadelphia won. We'll withhold judgment there. But no, in seriousness, the fact that kind of the main story coming out of both of the losers was complaining about the refs, I thought was hilarious, because if you've been watching to this point in the playoffs, you will have noticed a very specific trend, and that is many fewer points than actually the market was expecting. And that is in two parts. One is the possessions go down. That happens every year. That shouldn't have surprised anyone. But the other is that the fouls are being called less aggressively. And if you haven't been watching the NBA since the All-Star break, then maybe you didn't know that this was happening. But it does feel like whatever kind of emphasis the league, you know, kind of gave to the referees post All-Star break, would they double down on it for the playoffs? And guess what?
Sure did.
That's awesome.
Yes.
No one wanted to see those two games last night decided by free throws on cheap stuff. Like, it honestly, the fact that, you know, that both of those games were decided by, you know, elite playmaking, rebounding, shot making, like, hallelujah. Like, you know, and I, you know, we kind of going to the, like, the spectacle and the magical, you know, nature of those two comebacks, particularly the Knicks one, like, you know, when Kyle Lowry goes to the free throw line up four, I have decent stakes on Knicks to win this one. I thought the opening price was absurd with Philly as favorites. I'm, you know, heavily into the Knicks here. And, you know, he goes to the free throw line up four. And I threw my phone. I'm like, man, this is like 98% over. I don't even know.
What sequence
could possibly get me back into this game.
We were asking out loud. What was the Sixers win probability at that moment?
Had to be 98.5, 99, something in that ballpark. Yeah. It was a big number. And I'm just kind of resigned to, well, because I thought game two was going to be the gimme, right? Like, you know, one day turnaround for, you know, an ill Tyrese Maxey and a hobbled Joel Embiid, like that was supposed to be the gimme for the Knicks. And,
Tyrese looked horrible.
They donked it with an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. And it was like, despondent with the loss. And then the final sequence with the threes, Nick Nurse probably has a modicum of a fair beef that he didn't get the timeout called, but it wasn't clean. I didn't think it was like a clean surefire thing at all. Like, it was a little because if you're a referee, you have to see possession and then see the timeout, and right. It was so bang bang, like, you know, I don't think this was by any, you know, stretch of the imagination the most egregious call. So, it was a bad break for them. And I think ultimately, there are certainly things they could have done to, you know, kind of put themselves in a better position, but what a comeback from the Knicks. And my goodness gracious, I don't remember another team playing that hard. Kind of executing at that level in super high leverage situations. And then the Lakers Nuggets was just that kind of final sequence, the entire fourth quarter told you everything you already kind of knew about the matchup between these two teams, which is the Lakers have, you know, kind of a relatively thin lineup of players who can make a difference in a series against the world champions. And Anthony Davis completely running out of gas, considering how much he put into the offensive side of the ball in the first half, was somewhat predictable. LeBron did come to the rescue to a degree to kind of keep the Lakers' noses ahead, but it got no support really from any of the supporting cast. And then the Nuggets' kind of key advantage in this entire series is going to be their crunch time offense, where, you know, the Lakers defense has, you know, structural issues defending a playmaker like Jamal Murray. And so the fact that he specifically was the difference in getting that win late in that game was, it all felt perfect, and ultimately, I think the Lakers are probably going to be, you know what, in the, they're going to be right around to pick them for maybe small dogs in game.
One point dogs.
Game three in LA. So, yeah, I mean, I can see them close and pick. Like, there's going to be a little bit of momentum on the Lakers considering how, you know, well they played over the balance of the game. But, yeah, I don't see how this team is getting a win against this Nuggets team, if particularly if it comes down to crunch time, because the Lakers defense is just structurally not equipped to handle. And, you know, like, the supporting cast for a team like the Lakers typically plays better at home than they do on the road, which is why there's a little bit of a zigzag effect there. Certainly whatever adjustments Darvin Ham has in his back pocket that he didn't use last night, he's going to have to use for game three. But I'm not necessarily expecting this series to go past game five, if it even gets there. And it's crazy because the margin between the teams is narrow, as we've now seen through two games.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. Five game series. What else could the Lakers have done? By the way, a couple notes just to wrap that up. Kyle Lowry, career 81.5% free throw shooter when he made the 1 and 2. And Anthony Davis, to your point, 0 points, one shot, 0 points in the fourth quarter last night. Games three of both of those series, including the Cleveland-Orlando game three, is all on Thursday. Tonight, we have a triple header. Tomorrow's a double header. Kelly and I were talking about this earlier, that one of the games tomorrow in the double header is Boston-Miami. So effectively, the NBA is sort of saying, let's take a night off with just one game.
There's your bye day.
Let me ask you about the three today. T-Wolves up one are 3-point favorites against the Suns. Bucks up one are 1-point favorites against the Pacers. And the Clippers up one are 1.5-point dogs against the Mavs. Do you have a play in any of those?
Yeah, so my fare on Minnesota Phoenix is 3, so I don't have a side in that one. At 3, I got a little bit of a stake at 2.5, but it was nothing to write home about. The total to me looks too low. I think kind of Phoenix's key adjustment is going to have to be an uptick in pace. The way that their defense was exposed, I think, is problematic for them if they can't get their offense going. They're in deep trouble in this game and in this series, and I think ultimately Minnesota wins. But I also don't see a game that's going to be contested in the 212s. My fare on this one is closer to 220. So I got some over in Phoenix, Minnesota. The Indy Milwaukee game is fascinating because, like, the series price and the game one price were just, like, flat out wrong. And that's rare, but it was wrong for a reason. Like, the you know, there was very quiet speculation about Dame Lillard's, you know, kind of just general ability to you know, to show up and be fit. He was missing practice last week. There was rumors that it was a more serious injury than you know, that they were letting on. And if you watched any of game one, no, he was fine. And he was actually quite good.
Yes.
And in fact, the real questions and issues were about Tyrese Halliburton and whether or not he's going to show up for this series. And honestly, he may not show up until game three, because it certainly didn't, he did not seem ready. And it wasn't even like, you know, he was getting good looks and they just weren't falling. Like, he was unengaged. And I think that's a problem. So I think Bucks probably win this one. I think the under is probably good because the pace is so much slower than it was projected. So that one, to me, looks like Bucks and under. And then Dallas, I have Dallas series price. I'm riding it out. I feel not great about it considering that supporting cast, but fingers crossed they win.
Drew, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Best of luck.
We'll come back. Eric Eager on the NFL Draft next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate it for you allowing us to be part of your mornings each and every Monday through Friday here on A Numbers Game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Also have the best listeners in the game via tweet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Teasers and parlays. Thank you, gents, for an awesome pod. Talking about the Beating the Book NFL Draft Podcast. The top five exacta of Caleb Daniels, Harrison Neighbors May, 500-1. If you want absolute chaos as discussed, thank you for all your great work and let's cash some tickets. By the way, just to let you know what he's talking about, on the podcast, I sort of goaded both Drew and Luke into what's the nutty scenario that blows this whole thing up. And it was the Patriots staying at 3. If the Lakers stayed at 3, that'd be a real story. Patriots staying at 3 and drafting Marvin Harrison. And if that happened, what is the domino effect of that? And Drew's, again, if you missed it from when Drew was on, his knee-jerk to that was, if they go Harrison 3, the Cardinals fiending for a wide receiver are going to take Neighbors for, which I know you would hate. That option did not exist at BetMGM in Nevada. There was no Exacta that had Harrison 3, Neighbors 4. So the closest you could get here was after Harrison 3. So Williams, Jaden, Harrison 3 was sort of a scenario where it went 4 would end up being Drake May, followed by either Neighbors or Alt kind of thing. But they didn't allow you to take Neighbors at 4 after Harrison. So that didn't even exist. James Fraction. Hey, Gil, I'm invested with you in the Cleveland most wins in March and April investment, and I'm a Yankees fan. I've never been so excited about my Yanks getting beat by the A's in April in my life. Go Gil's Guardians. Thank you. We will talk to Paul Spoor about that bet coming up a little later on. Good news, bad news. Good news, Guardians control their own destiny for the first time. Bad news, there's still 7 more games. And there's a little weather looming, too, which is bothering me. Stefan Reed, I don't have a dog in the hunt, but I find myself rooting for your Indians. Guardians wager, he says. Got home today and grabbed Oakland plus 190 in game just to have action and hopefully win and have it help you as well. So nice of people to, like, even if they're not invested in the bet, jumping on. And 3JackH3131, as always, great job with the NFL Draft Podcast. Shout out to Drew and Luke with all the great insights. And Stephen Vegas agrees, best 2 basketball games ever last night, back-to-back, doubleheader.
It's a hell of a duo on the pod yesterday.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yep. And Cleve TA Thursday to talk NFL draft with us as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Premier League is playing games midweek, so we must bring in our buddy Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast and, of course, True Media Networks. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. What's happening, Paulie? Oh, we don't hear Paul. Paul, we don't hear your audio. Mute? No, nothing.
So you're saying I need to turn my mic
there
off?
There you go. That is what I was saying. Yes.
All right. I'm just starting my draft prep this week. You know, just been out of the loop trying to figure out. I don't know what's going on. Looks like the Dolphins are hoping an O-lineman falls to 21, something like that. So, but it's always fun. I just am not as dialed in as I have been.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been killing it in soccer, though, right? Like, this has been a great stretch.
Yeah, we're up about 10 units for the year in 2024, so hit 2 out of 3 last week on the Premier League.
Can we talk about, before we get into your picks, though, because obviously we've had a couple results here since, right, at the top.
Yeah.
A couple not convincing, but wins nonetheless, and FA Cup involved, the third team was idle. Explain to us.
Yeah, so City didn't play in the Premier League this past weekend because they had an FA Cup semifinal that they won against Chelsea, but Arsenal beat Wolves and Liverpool beat Fulham, so they held serve, but were not convincing in any stretch. You know, Liverpool won 3-1, but they just kind of converted all 3 of their half chances and kind of walked in from there. So nothing was very appealing in that sense. Like, if you have Arsenal, I have an Arsenal future. If you have that, I don't feel a whole lot better about it just based on that win, even though the odds got shorter for them. Arsenal was like plus 380, 390. They're down to plus 330 or so. But that's just the nature of, you know, there's half a dozen games or fewer left, and any points you pick up make a big difference. So City's still a minus 200 favorite, and I think deservedly so. But, you know, the table looks a little closer because City has a game in hand right now.
Yeah, DraftKings, Man City minus 200. Arsenal plus 330 and Liverpool plus 450. But as you say, okay, so 5 games left for Arsenal and Liverpool. They're at 74 points. 6 games left for Man City. They're at 73 points, 1 point behind. So it's that game in hand that ultimately makes them the favorite. Have we ever had a 3-team race this close this late?
Not recently. There was one, and I forget the year, in the 90s, kind of before the Premier League, like before I was watching it, before most people in America were able to watch it. So I know there was one, you know, in our lifetimes, but not in kind of our general memory as American soccer fans.
Right. So what you're trying to say, what you're suggesting here, Paul, is that as Americans, we didn't even know the Premier League existed in 1990.
I mean, it was TV. Like, I literally couldn't watch Premier League games because they were on, you know, whatever Fox Soccer World channel that I couldn't get. I couldn't watch them until like 06 or something like that, just based on like the TV services available and things like that. So yeah, they really blew up in the last, you know, 15 or so years as far as the Premier League's popularity in the U.S. goes.
All right, let's get to it. Today, Arsenal, one of the teams we just mentioned, tied for the lead right now. Arsenal plays Chelsea. What is your play on this, sir?
Yeah, so I'm kind of at the spot where I'm fading Arsenal just because, well, A, their numbers are trending down. In 5 of the last 6 games, 1.6 expected goals or fewer. And compare that to the first 27 games when they topped that mark in 70% of the games. So their attack is just, the numbers are not as good. They don't pass the eye test as much. Bukayo Saka, their star winger on the right side, just doesn't look, he just looks worn down. You know, it's the end of the season. It's a long season, et cetera. So they just don't look as good and their numbers aren't as good. So I'm playing the draw in this one at plus 400.
Ooh.
It kind of goes against, you know, usually I like to take the better team on the road. You know, the home crowd balances out the advantage, et cetera. But I just think Arsenal is kind of cooked. I mean, don't tell your valet guy. Don't tell him.
Yeah, I will.
But it just, that's a good price. Arsenal has not been putting up the numbers offensively. Just, I mean, they're not going to blow Chelsea out. Like, Chelsea's going to hang around this one. They're the fourth or fifth best team probably in the league this season, even though the standings don't necessarily reflect that. So, yeah, you give me a huge number on a draw like that, I will take plus 400 in Arsenal Chelsea for the draw.
Wow, plus 4-1 Arsenal Chelsea draw today. He is go my guy downstairs is going to be a mess when I get home. My God.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Arsenal Chelsea 4-1 draw today. Tomorrow, speaking of which, Liverpool is also in action. They're taking on Everton. What do you got here?
So this is one of the great rivalries in English soccer. It's I probably said this before, but it boggles my mind. These two stadiums are less than a mile apart. Like, they're across, it's a park or a cemetery or something. Less than a mile. You can walk there in like 15 minutes. It's wild.
That's amazing.
But it is. It's, yeah. We as Americans don't have a, including myself, don't have a great sense of how tight England is and how many soccer stadiums there are. I mean, it's like high school football stadiums in Texas or something like that. There's so many stadiums and teams and all that.
In my head, I'm rifling through.
Well, how many in London alone? Right, Paul? I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah. Just in the Premier League, there's six or seven
most years.
You know, it obviously varies. And there's probably, you know, multiples of that when you go on down just through the top four leagues.
I'm going through, like, which, in American professional sports, which are the two closest, like, teams? I guess you...
Wrigley and Comiskey or whatever it's called now?
Are Wrigley and Comiskey closer than... the Bronx and Queens, but it's one of those, right?
Yeah,
probably. I'm on.
It's got to be one of those. Yeah.
Kelly's got the. Gonna go check it out for us.
You figure that out. I'm gonna take the under in Everton Liverpool at under two and a half at plus 155.
Yeah,
I know I've been taking overs a lot, but this is kind of a rivalry specific thing. Last four matches between these teams have had two or fewer goals since Jurgen Klopp came to Liverpool. Five of the seven at Goodison Park where Everton plays have had one or fewer goals. Everton can't score. They're dead last in total goals per game, offense and defense combined. Both just take a lot of shots from outside the box. And like I said, Liverpool didn't look great against Fulham. So I think they may be winding down a little bit. This is just kind of a classic rock fight of a rivalry. So under 2.5 plus 155.
By the way, it's probably if you were allowed to cross the bay, it's probably the Giants and the A's.
Yeah, that might be.
But instead, you have to go
Uno
over
Mas.
You got to go over the Bay Bridge, though, so maybe not.
Right.
Okay, so Arsenal-Chelsea draw today. Arsenal tied with Liverpool. You got them under 2.5 goals against Everton. Less than a mile away, those two. Under 2.5 goals tomorrow at plus 155. Shop around for the best price. You have another one tomorrow as well.
This is Manchester United is hosting Sheffield United. Sheffield's in dead last place. They're not officially relegated, but... they will be like their numbers off the board most places as far as that goes. But I like Sheffield United getting a goal and a half at minus 105. Man United has been smoking mirrors all season. They advanced to the FA Cup final over the weekend, even though they really got outplayed by Coventry. But Man United got by on penalty kicks despite blowing a 3-goal lead. So Manchester United in expected goal difference, they are 16th in the Premier League this season. Now that overstates things a little bit, but it goes to the fact that they're just not very good on the whole, been very fortunate in a lot of different ways. And at home, they have played 15 home games in the league. Only twice have they won by multiple goals. And they beat Forest by one goal, beat Luton by one goal. So those are a couple similarly relegation-threatened teams to where Sheffield United is. So Sheffield United, I'll lay the goal and a half at minus 105, even on the road.
Getting the goal and a half, right? Not laying the goal and a half.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, getting the goal and a half.
And Sheffield United, they're relegated. There's barely any way they can get out of not being relegated. So, like, do you worry about motivation there at all?
Not really. I think, you know, they're still fighting the good fight, even though, yeah, they it need about 100,000 things to go right to actually not get relegated, but not yet, because it's not official. So, you know, they're still at least putting up a good show.
Okay. Arsenal Chelsea draw today, 4-1. Tomorrow, Everton Liverpool under 2.5 goals, and Sheffield getting the goal and a half at Man U. The answer, Kelly, is
I've got several. 970 meters from the two soccer stadiums. 11 miles as the crow flies from the Giants to the A's. 7 miles from Yankees to Mets, and 8.2 miles from White Sox to Cubs.
Bronx and Queens, baby.
There we go.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good work, Kelly.
They posted Rookie of the Year odds in the NFL. We'll look at those next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits.
Split bets.
The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game, by the way. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish. At Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D.
Whatever happened to the what was it, the SAP button on your remote, right?
Oh, that's right. Hit the SAP button on your remote, and you'll listen to the show in Spanish. Could you imagine if they just, like, if we were just some, we had some Spanish guys just going, and all of a sudden they'd be like, Guardians! This Los Guardianos.
I worked for a whole week, Gil. I was borrowed for a week by the ESPN Deportes office in Miami.
Were you really?
It was a tough week. It was a tough week to get through.
You understood nothing.
I mean, like, I understood some. I had to do some editing work though, and I'm like, I don't know if this is a clean edit right here or not.
I once had an audition at MTV Latino in Miami.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That also did not go well. So we have that in common.
Let's just say I was way more confident in myself than I should have been. I don't know if you feel the same about yourself, but I was very confident.
Oh, at that age? Come on. I just thought the world was coming to me. I was like, yeah, sure.
Like, I lived in Venezuela for a year. No problemo.
Jason Stark. Ask and you shall receive. It's a tie. He says the Cubs and White Sox are 10 miles apart as the Yankees. Oh, I already read that one. Jamie Racio. I don't know why you like this betting stuff, Gilly, but let's... He goes, L blank G Guardians. Gilly's mom voice. Oh, she would say, who are the Guardians? Why do you like them all of a sudden? B's bets. Today's Guardians-Red Sox game may have some weather issues as well today. Oh, don't say that. Hold on. See, this is the other thing about this bet. I have been so locked into weather reports for fear of losing a game. How about if we lose it that way?
Yeah, it'd be rough.
Cleveland weather. Today is... Oh, no, he's right. The precipitation begins tonight now. Oh, no. So we have about a 50% chance of rain tonight. That should hit during the game. And then tomorrow, it is a tomorrow again chance of rain. So we could be looking at a doubleheader situation or losing a game or whatever. Oh, I don't know. Is the thing. It's not good enough to be good. You have to avoid the weather. And part of the handicap of this was Cleveland didn't have a home game till April 8th. That was my way of sort of minimizing weather impact. We got clipped in Minnesota. And now here we are. Maybe we're going to get clipped at the end of the Cleveland homestand. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Sporer joins us at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R, on Twitter. He works at FanGraphs, the baseball Bible for nerds like me. And nerds across the land, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, sponsored by the Progressive Guest Line. No coincidence that, of course, the Guardians play Progressive Field. Paulie, can you make the weather go away in Cleveland? Let's start there, please.
Boy, I wish I could. That sounds treacherous. That's the worst when you're dealing with an outside factor like that, too, right? You know, you got everything aligned with the talent and the players that you want, then you have to deal with the weather. And so that part is pretty nerve-wracking. Hopefully it stays away for you. And who are they playing right now? I can't remember.
Boston Red Sox, Tanner Houck again today against Lively. Houck against Lively. Almost a coin flip of a game.
I wonder how many more games they have, too. Like, how aggressively are they going to try to get it in right now as opposed to pushing it? I think there's more off days now, which kind of makes them more inclined to maybe push it. So that's not cool. But fingers crossed for you. I'm hoping.
Well, the sad part is we had the off day yesterday, so we didn't. You know, it would have been great if the series was yesterday, today, and then Wednesday, and then you had the Thursday. But instead, the off day was yesterday. So now Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you lose a game, you're going to lose a game because they got to play in Atlanta on Friday. And so, and the other trippy part about this bet, if you will, is that unlike winning a division or a series or a pennant or a championship, the teams have no idea that there's a bet, or the league has no idea a bet's taking place because there's no prize, right? There's no prize. So you're operating in this weird vacuum that they don't even know about. It's also a trippy element to it. What has been the trippiest, since I'll use that word, the trippiest part about this baseball season thus far for you, a little more than 20 games in, which is 1/8 of the season, what has stood out to you as, wow, that is not something I necessarily saw coming?
I mean, maybe the group of upstarts, you know, there was some popularity for a lot of them coming into the season, although not the Guardians, actually. They were kind of overshadowed by the Tigers and Royals, both teams playing pretty well there. You look at a team like the Brewers. I think both central leaders are a bit surprising. They were both kind of cast off. You know, people getting on the Pirates-Reds train as the upstarts in the Central, with maybe the Cubs as the favorite, throwing the Brewers off to the side, and then the Cardinals, you know, if you liked them, you were kind of in. If you didn't like what they did with their pitching, you were kind of out. And then, like I said, same thing in the AL, where it was like Twins are the favorite, Royals, Tigers are the upstarts, Guardians off to the side, White Sox, you know, doing whatever they're doing and by themselves over there, losing tons of games. So I think it's really that. And might just be the weather. The ball seems a bit dead right now. Hmm. You're not getting the normal, the early results are suggesting that the standard results that you would get from particular barrels and well-struck balls is not matching up, which hints at a perhaps deader ball, which isn't cool. I don't know why we would want that. So we know the MLB is always messing with the ball. We just don't know to what degree, and that's the frustrating part.
And they could change it at any point, as we say, right?
Exactly.
At all times, right? So that makes, you know, sweeping generalizations about such things perilous, because you might be right, and then the next week they're like, oh, new batch of balls kind of thing. By the way, you hinted at the White Sox, or you touched on them, I should say. 3-19. We've seen bad starts before, certainly.
Yes.
And I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, because we've seen these before, and teams manage to get to 45, 50 wins at the very least. They will too, in your opinion?
Probably. It's the safe bet, right? Like, it's a bad team. It's definitely a bad team. There's no two ways around it. But didn't we have one of these last year? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
But we had one and they got out. Maybe it was just Oakland. I can't remember if there was one besides Oakland. But yeah, the safe bet is that, yes, things will get better. 3-19 is obviously horrendous. I don't think they're a 136 win percentage team. That's a 22 win.
Yeah. By the way, it was Oakland, and Oakland ended up with 56 wins. With 50 wins on the button,
which is still terrible.
Right.
But 2.5x what we're looking at right now, or, you know, just about 2x, or just over 2x, I should say, of what we're looking at right now for Chicago. So it will get better. It won't be good, Chicago fans. I'm not going to delude you, but it'll get better.
Are you worried at all about the Dodgers, who are 13-11? And when I say worried, let's put that in relative terms, meaning worried enough that they won't be elite, that they won't get to, say, 95 wins. Let's put it like that.
Not really. No, like, you know, they kind of build their team to kind of battle the 162 and kind of morph and, you know, ebb and flow. I feel like we've seen this recently too, maybe some slower starts by powerhouse teams, and then they get to the level that we expect them to be at. No, I'm not particularly worried. Like, the pitching depth coming in, we kind of knew, like, okay, this is not the roster, the rotation that they're going to have in October, probably. Yeah. And of course, Bobby Miller being hurt is not great, but, you know, Kershaw is obviously expected back at some point. Miller himself is. Bueller's working his way back. They can always add. They still have an insanely deep system. You know, signing Will Smith means that guys like Dalton Rushing, Diego Cartaya, and Tyron Lorenzo, are prospects that are going to be available. Those are all three catching prospects, big time guys. They can go out and get whoever they want. So, Bottom line, no, I'm not worried about the Dodgers, and I don't think that they're like primed for the picking. I think that they're going to work their way through the buck 62 to make sure that they've got the seed that they want, and then go from there.
Yeah. Check adjusted season win totals for all of these. They're not currently up that I see at DraftKings. But I would just say, you know, 20 plus games in, it's about as to form of a baseball season as you can imagine. Because again, as I said earlier, Baltimore, the Yankees, 15 wins each, right? Atlanta with 15 wins, the Phillies with 15 wins, Milwaukee with 14. So it's like the teams you thought would be there are there. Right. So it's about what it should be. DFS as we close out here. What do you got today?
You know, I'm probably looking at some of the top end starters. You got Marcus Stroman facing the A's, which is always nice. Grayson Rodriguez is on the road, but that Angels team, just avoid Trout. You're looking pretty good. We're talking about the White Sox, Pablo Lopez against them. So I'm probably taking one of the aces, throw Logan Webb in there too. If I'm at DraftKings, I might double up and then try to play cheap in Colorado. You got San Diego and Colorado out there. So I'm playing it pretty chalky today with some aces and as much Colorado as I can get. Got to watch out for that weather. You talk about your Cleveland weather. There's potentially some St. Louis, some Chicago. So you want to be ducking the weather a little bit too. Colorado itself, you also have to be careful there. So if you want to pivot off Colorado, you can find your hitters elsewhere. But go with the aces, in my opinion.
Talk me out of Logan Webb, Cy Young at 10-1.
I'm not gonna. I love Logan Webb. I think he's fantastic and could absolutely win a Cy Young.
Okay. That's what I needed to hear. Might add that. Thank you, Paulie. Great talking to you.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
Can't make the weather go away in Cleveland. Go away, rain. At least stay till tomorrow like you were supposed to. My God. We'll finish as we started with the NBA. Kelly's thoughts next.